An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time to feed you some more football here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens getting ready for the Raiders coming up Sunday. 9.5-point favorites are the Birds of Baltimore. The other Birds of Baltimore, of course, the original Birds, are up at Fenway getting it handed to them. But we'll talk about that later in the show. Ravens trying to bounce back after the loss to Kansas City. Lamar was not at practice yesterday, for whatever that means. We'll know more tomorrow, as John Harbaugh said yesterday. But all sorts of fun and excitement going on in the NFL. Week number one here to talk about it, as only he can. Longtime NFL writer. Let's welcome back to the show Jason Cole. Jason, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore.
No problem. I'm guessing that the Harbaughs are going to own the Raiders by the end of this week.
Yeah,
the first 2 weeks of that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm in a victory lap. I thought Dobbins still had something left in the tank, and at least for one day, he looked like the dude we all thought he was going to be in Baltimore. But let's get away from that a little bit. I want to talk about Atlanta and all the hubbub about the Falcons. And a lot of people, Jason, picked them to win the South, and they still may. But, boy, they got it handed to them. Pittsburgh was all over them like a Kmart suit. And Kirk Cousins, struggle city. Bijan Robinson did not live up to all the fantasy hype. Is this just a one-game aberration for Atlanta, or could this be a sign of things to come there with the Falcons?
The Steelers are really good.
Yeah.
When TJ Watt is healthy, like that was like a team ready to play in the Super Bowl. Now, we have a long way to go between now and then, and lots of things can change. But if you want to talk about some of the best stuff that I saw from the opening week, was Pittsburgh's defense and how prepared they were for that game. I mean, San Francisco, incredibly prepared. Kansas City on offense, really sharp with what they did in a, against a good Baltimore team, right? So, you know, you're looking at standout stuff. I thought that Pittsburgh had the best overall defensive performance and got by with Justin Fields at quarterback for a week. That was really, you know, between what Boswell did in that game with the 6 field goals and the emergency punt and what TJ Watt was able to do, like, that was fantastic. So I don't hold that against Atlanta, and I don't critique Atlanta so much for that, because offense takes a little more time, especially an offense where you're getting a quarterback into a new situation, getting a quarterback into a, you know, getting the rust off, all of those things that they're talking about with Cousins. I think that'll come. But I was more impressed by what Pittsburgh did in that game.
What'd you think of Cleveland kind of laying an egg? Because, I mean, you know what shocked me, Jason? This is their defense at home last year was phenomenal. And then Deshaun Watson, I just don't know what to say there.
Well, the whole state of Ohio, not real good, you know. Bengals not doing much either, right? So in that game, I mean, that was a stinker against the Patriots. I mean, we're not, like, the Patriots aren't the Cowboys. Like, you can look and say, Cowboys have some players, especially on defense, and especially if Deshaun Watson is going to be that bad, right? There's a combination. In Cleveland, they haven't figured out what they're going to do with their running game. So you kind of throw that aside, and you can see where the game got out of hand. I don't really think that they're that far apart. If they played in another 8 weeks, I just think Dallas is better prepared for this situation right now. But it was not a good opening act, and you can see where Cleveland might have some really serious problems becoming a contender if Watson is A, just playing this bad, and B, you know, based on the lawsuit that came out yesterday, mm-hmm. are we back to the same distractions and off-field, you know, stupidity that has plagued Watson for so much of the last three years of his career? I mean, this is just, you know, I hate to say it, but some guys just let they don't put enough of a priority on football to keep their off-field life clean.
Now, Jason, are the Giants in Carolina, are they that bad?
The Giants are horrendous. I mean, Daniel Jones is, like, he was just so bad.
Yeah.
In some really, you know, just standard operating procedure kinds of ways, right? Like that interception by Van Ginkle, where he doesn't even, it's like it's a swing throw, and he's just staring it down. And so Van Ginkle is just reading his eyes the whole way. It's like, you got to at least look that off for a second, because you know it's not a hard throw. And then, you know, he's just off target all the time. And Carolina, it's like, this is where you just kind of look and go, man, it looks like Canales was just, again, the wrong hire at the wrong time. Like, the wrong guy to bring in. And Tepper once again has screwed up a coaching hire, and just doesn't know how to hire the basic right people or stay with a guy like Frank Reich who knows how to run a team, because they don't look like they progressed one single step forward from where they were a year ago at this time, and even the middle of last year after they played for a while.
Now is Houston, you think Houston's a real deal? I mean, that was probably the best football game last Sunday, Houston and Indy.
I mean, that wasn't up there. I like Detroit and the Rams, too. That was a pretty good game. I think Houston is really talented in obviously important ways. I think the defense has to come along a little further. I think there's a playing to speed of your talent, right? Like when you watch, and again, I come back to Pittsburgh, those guys are playing literally at maximum speed and maximum reaction. Whether they're going the right direction or whether they're not, they're just playing full speed. When I watch Houston on defense, they're not quite there. I think they will get there. Because Ryan's is that good a coach, and he played like that himself, and I think he knows how to teach it based on what he did when he was in San Francisco. But they're not there yet, which is why you get a 60-yard pass over the top against them here, you know, some bad execution against a quarterback who wants to run around and make plays. Like, there's just some things that happen in that game where I go, this is good. It's not great.
Now, Jason, what about Thursday night? You got Buffalo coming down to Miami. You know, Miami, maybe Tyreek has kind of got it going now. They got that 80-yarder. And then Josh Allen with 4 touchdowns last week. I don't know if he's got a lot of help. I mean, they got a decent running game. You know, and Coleman was okay.
Hey, Dalton Kincaid, both the tight ends, but particularly Dalton Kincaid, is a really good player. Like, that's, to me, Dalton Kincaid could be one of the top tight ends in the league, this year, if he just can stay healthy and stay on the field and make, you know, just standard progress, right? I think that, like, I like that combination. Now, the wide receivers, obviously, took a huge step back, but there may be some addition by subtraction there in the long run, because, you know, Diggs isn't there to be, you know, kind of surly all the time, and Gabe Davis is not there to be a consistent sort of underachiever. So maybe you're maxing out your guys a little bit better. And the one thing I liked on Sunday for Josh Allen was he had that one play early where he held the ball a little bit too long and then got the fumble again. He missed the guy who was open in the middle of the field, right? But he wasn't playing hero ball all the time. He wasn't forcing throws. He was playing more in a rhythm of the game and letting the game come to him a little bit rather than trying to push his athletic ability on the game, which is what got him in trouble so much last year. The thing I hate about this week is I don't like this kind of an important game when both teams have only, you know, 3 days and neither, you know, they can't really game plan the way you would want to game plan this game. So I hate that about this game, but it is a highlight matchup, and they'll probably be entertaining in this game just on emotion, and familiarity between the two teams. So I think it'll be a fun game from that perspective. I just don't like it. I don't like it on short rest. That's the bottom line.
Longtime NFL writer Jason Cole joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jason, last thing for you. False starts and illegal formations aside, your impressions of the Ravens week one. Tough loss by a toe to the Chiefs there.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they were going to go for the two right afterwards. Yeah. And, because I love that as a red call on the road. You want to take – it's a 50-50 chance, basically. I don't want to take, if I've got a 50-50 chance to steal a road, a road victory over, the defending Super Bowl champions, I'll take my shot at it, right? There were a couple of things that were that disturbed me. The Ravens' defense looked a step slow, and was Keith Hamilton playing that game?
He missed that one.
Kyle Hamilton,
right. Kyle Hamilton.
Roquan.
I think Keith Hamilton actually played for Kyle Hamilton that day.
Yeah, that might have been true. Like, it just, it wasn't there, right? So that's not great. But it's the other thing is, this is the thing about Lamar in the really high level games, right? And these are the kinds of games that win AFC championships and win playoff games and, win Super Bowls and things like that. You got to hit really critical throws, right?
Yep.
You got to hit the deep one, the one that you overthrew. I think it was
to Likely Flowers in the corner.
And Likely on the two plays before Likely, has the toe tap that he misses out on the
touchdown. They should have had three touchdowns in that on those plays.
Right. Like, you just can't. And, he missed Zay Flowers on the crossing route on the TD. He missed Zay Flowers on the deep one earlier in the game. He missed Likely in the left corner. And then Likely, he makes a really nice throw to Likely. But you had four shots. And the really great quarterbacks hit three of those. And and he's so great at so many things. And I believe that Lamar Jackson will win a Super Bowl. But if you want to tell me why, if you were looking for an explanation about why it hasn't happened yet and why it may never happen, as great as he is, as talented as he is, the answer is simply that when it comes to the really precise critical throws that change a game, Patrick Mahomes makes those plays and Lamar Jackson doesn't. Not consistently enough.
Yeah.
And I would have paid Lamar Jackson what he paid. I have no problem with what they did. I have no problem with, what he does overall. All these things that we talk about, right? But there's a very minute difference between being very, very good to great and being one of the greatest of all time. And that's what it is.
Jason Cole joins us, talks about NFL throughout the course of the season. Jason, always great to catch up. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
Thanks, Jason.
Absolutely. Take care, guys. Thanks.
There is Jason Cole, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, American League East Report. Coming up next, Yankees game and a half in front of the Orioles. How did they get there? We'll tell you when we come back. And Vinny's Feeble Five. We're the five worst teams in the NFL. Through just 1 week, some solidified their status. Others may have joined the fun. Stick around. You'll find out coming up in a few minutes.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
All right, American League East report quickly here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Orioles, they get clobbered last night, 12-3 at Fenway. Birds 2-for-11, runners in scoring position. Rob Refsnyder, Tyler O'Neill go back-to-back twice against the Orioles. Kay Povich, 4 2/3, 5 hits, 4 runs, couple of walks, 5 Ks. Bullpen was dreadful. Orioles have lost 3 in a row, 4-5 Game and a half out of first. Good news, Anthony Santander hit his 40th home run of the season. One of the rare switch hitters to accomplish that feat. So congratulations to him. Cedric Mullins made a brilliant catch in left or right center field. An old Moo Man, bare hand throw, get Ref Snyder at the plate. But other than that, it was a night that Brandon Hyde and his Orioles would like to forget, I would assume. Tonight, Albert Suarez coming off a rough outing his last time out. 7-5 with a 3.49, taking on Cutter Crawford, 8-13 with a 4.02, 7.10 first pitch. Our coverage begins here on The Fan at 6 o'clock with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Tim Barbalace, and longtime voice of the Orioles, Jim Hunter, getting you ready for that. So as the Orioles lose to Boston in the Bronx, the Yankees are taking on the Royals, and what Baltimore needed Kansas City to step up, and they were for a while, until all of a sudden a guy that's having a big old year himself as a young player hit a three-run jack. Yeah, broke a 4-4 tie. Yankees would win that one 10-4. Austin Wells, three-run homer. That was Michael Kay, yes, on the call. Alex Verdugo went deep as well as New York extends their lead in the division to game and a half over the Orioles. Philadelphia taking on the Rays. Philly's trying to move in on that NL East championship, and they get this good drama late.
1-0. Line drive. Base hit into right field. The Phils will win the game. He wins it 2-1 here in the bottom of the ninth inning.
NBC Philly on the call. Cody Clemens, game-winning hit. Tampa just took 2 out of 3 from the Orioles. They lose a tough one, 2-1 to Philadelphia. And it was the Mets taking on the Blue Jays, and all sorts of zaniness took place late in this one.
Nimmo's 0-3 tonight. And he swings and misses. It gets away from Servin. Here comes Alvarez. The throw not in time, and the Mets take the lead. The Mets getting 2 runs.
SNY on the call. You got a run scored on a wild pitch, then a pass ball there. 3-2, the Mets, who've won 10 of their last 11 games, beat the Blue Jays 3-2. Games of playoff importance today. Rays at Phillies again, 6:40 tonight. Braves down at D.C. taking on the Nats, 6:45. Royals and Yankees coming up tonight, 7:05. Mets and the Blue Jays in Toronto, 7:07. Angels at the Twins. Twinkies hitting the skids a little bit here as of late. Guardians at the White Sox. Reds at the Cardinals. Your A's are at the Astros. Padres at the Mariners. Big game for both teams there. Rangers at Diamondbacks. Brujas trying to finish off the Central there at San Francisco. And the Cubbies are at the Dodgers. Division standings. Yankees game and a half up on the Orioles. You got the Guardians 3.5 up on the Royals there. Mariners chasing Houston. They're 4.5 back. 7 games separate the Phillies and the Mets in the East. 8.5 separate the Brewers and the Cubs in the Central. And we got 5.5 separating the Dodgers and the Padres out West. If the playoffs start today, which they don't, Orioles and Royals would face in a wild card battle. The Twinkies are still in. They would take on the Astros, even though they've lost 4 in a row, 7 of 10. And as we talked earlier, Detroit, Boston, Seattle, all 3 games back of that last wild card. In the National League, Padres, Diamondbacks, Mets are in. Braves are a game out. So there we go, as we're, what, 17, 18 games left?
17.
In the regular season for a lot of teams here. Final few weeks of 2024, a lot left to be determined. Orioles tonight, as we said, taking on the Red Sox. Suarez against Crawford. When we come back, Feeble Five. That's right, NFL. 5 worst teams in the National Football League. We just talked about 2 of them with Jason Cole. Giants and the Panthers, who, by the way, play each other later in the season. That should be, and that could be for the number one pick in the draft. Who really knows? So stay tuned with the Feeble Five. You want to get in real quick, 410-583-1057 is the number. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access will take over, too. It's Turn Up Tuesday. Vinny Hating Nolan here on The Fan.
How in the world?
Vinny and Haney's Feeble Five.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday earlier in the program. Vinny gave you his dirty dozen, the 12 best teams in the National Football League, led by the Kansas City Chiefs, and rightfully so, as they beat the Ravens in an exciting Thursday night contest. Now we get to the opposite end of the spectrum, the five worst teams in the NFL. It's only one weekend, but still, you can sense poor football by just watching 60 minutes of it. And let's see, it's the Feeble Five.
All right. Well, last week, week one going into it, it was New England was 1, Giants 2, Carolina 3, Denver 4, New Orleans 5. So, coming out, number 5, 0-1, the Cleveland Browns.
You suck!
They lost Dallas 33-17. They're at Jacksonville. Deshaun Watson, he has 13 career starts for Cleveland. He has a quarterback rating under 75 in 7 of them.
Yeah. I mean, his high water mark was probably the second half against the Ravens last year.
No doubt. Coming in at 4. 0-1, the Denver Broncos.
You suck!
They lost at Seattle 26-20. They're hosting the Steelers. In week one, Denver tied for the NFL lead with 3 giveaways. And there were some, you know, some bad interceptions.
Yeah, and they had 2 safeties.
Yeah, Denver early on, did. Yes.
Oh, by the way, their uniforms suck, too. Not a fan. Nobody asked, but I'm telling you anyway.
Yeah, and let me just say this. All the rookie quarterbacks, they all struggled. Coming in at 3, the Las Vegas Raiders.
You suck.
Yep, they're 0-1. They lost at the Chargers 22-10. And they're at Baltimore. How about this? This is pretty amazing. The Raiders are last in the AFC in both rushing yards per play on offense and rushing yards allowed per play on defense. So, you know, we were talking about what Derrick Henry is.
Yeah.
You know, so this may be a team that you may want to hammer Derrick Henry a little bit more. And you know when Derrick Henry, Bob, is going to get, you know, like people say, oh, he needs more carries. You know when he's going to get those carries, when he's going to earn his carries? When they're ahead in the fourth quarter, and then you want to run the clock and eat the clock, that's when he's got to get his, you know, get 8 to 10 carries there in the fourth quarter. Coming in at 2, the New York Giants.
You suck!
They do. They're 0-1. They lost to Minnesota at home 28-6, and they're at Washington. Daniel Jones, quarterback rating, 44.4.
Man.
Lowest in the NFC. And Jason Cole, that interception, you saw that pick, right?
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah. But what do they see, the Giants, when they decide? I mean, quarterback takes you farther than a running back does. We get all that. But Barkley's a game changer. Has Daniel Jones ever been a game-changing guy? I know they made the playoffs a couple years ago, and he can run, but he's always been a turnover machine. He's never been that great of a passer.
Well, I think, Bob, where they screwed up was pick 8, or they could have had Penix, J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
They could have had any of those. You know, I mean, Neighbors. What the hell is Neighbors going to do with no quarterback?
They could have Gym Neighbors for all you know.
Right.
Go over pile.
And you can't do anything without a quarterback. I mean, you know, Washington took Daniels. Philly's got Hurts. And Dallas has got the $60 million man.
Yeah.
And the Giants got nothing. And that's why they're going to finish in last place. But they may get the first pick next year. Coming in at 1. 0-1 Carolina.
You suck.
Yeah, they were really bad. They lost at New Orleans 47-10. I mean, it was what, 30-0 at the half or 30-3 at the half?
It was puffy pants in the first quarter.
And Carolina hosts Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. Now, the Panthers, they rushed for 58 yards. 2.9 yards per attempt. Most last in the NFL. So, in summary, Carolina is 1. I mean, I feel bad for that new coach, Canales.
Canales, yeah.
Oof. And Bob, Derrick Brown, their best defensive player, probably the best player on the team, he may be lost for the season.
Yep. And Bryce Young gets to read about C.J. Stroud's greatness, and so do Carolina Panther fans.
And supposedly, Bob, that's who Frank Reich wanted. He wanted Stroud, but the owner wanted Bryce Young.
Yeah, owners always know best.
Yes. And so 2 was the Giants, 3 was the Raiders, 4 Denver, 5 Cleveland.
Well, you had New England and New Orleans in there last week.
Yes, I did.
And they both won and looked impressive in doing so. New England, fair to say, winning on the road.
We'll see.
Big favorites against Cincinnati. That was a quality win.
Yes.
But can they stack? That remains to be seen. And we'll get an idea of what New Orleans is all about, in particular Derek Carr, when they get Dallas this week with Micah Parsons breathing down his neck, because that's usually when Derek Carr gets a little pear-shaped in his performance. Orioles tonight, speaking of pear-shaped, their offense has been that for quite some time. Albert Suarez at least trying to give him a quality start after Cade Povich struggled yesterday against the Boston Red Sox. Orioles, as we've said, since June 20th. This is always the litmus test date for me. Because they were 24 games over 500. They just pounded the Yankees 17-5. Remember on that Thursday afternoon, since then, they're 33-38. They're 24-24 since the All-Star break. They've been an average team.
Yeah. It's
not a 10-game.
Right.
It's been almost 3 months.
Nor do they get the 90 wins. I'd ask that, Bob, off the air.
So I think 500 gets you 91, right? 91,
yes.
92.
Well, they'd be 9-8.
Okay. I think they can continue to play 500 ball. They'll get there. It might be close. It might come down to game 162, but they'll get there.
You think we're going to be getting a little Tuesday wild card baseball, maybe on the Fan here?
Starting to look that way.
Yeah.
Quick turnaround, which could be, I don't know how the pitching rotation is going to map out, but a big disadvantage there of playing in the wild card round is, let's say, hypothetically, that one of your better pitchers is tossing game 162 that Sunday, Corbin Burns, for example. Well, he's ineligible now for game 1 of your playoff series because that's only a couple days later.
Because right now, Eflin's ahead of him in the turn rotation.
How do you play that last series versus Minnesota if that's who you're going to open up
with? Well, you want to make sure you're the higher seed. You still want to be playing at home.
Yeah, but if you're ahead of them, you know, you're going to get the home game. Then do you want to adjust your pitchers accordingly?
Possibly. If you can't catch the Yankees and you're already cemented as the top wild card, I'm assuming Hyder will be a little more creative. You might have Grayson Rodriguez back by then, too.
Mm-hmm.
We have Westberg back. That's going to be key as well.
I saw he was catching ground balls without the cast on.
Throwing
him in a bucket.
Matt Weyrich said his return is not imminent. Yeah. And I was against trading Connor Norby. Stowers was always going to be caught in the outfield numbers crunch. But Norby, boy, we wouldn't need that bat around this time right now. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. And Trevor Rogers is dealing for Norfolk right now. So there you go. Anyway, Orioles trying to win tonight. Let's take them one game at a time. There's your cliche. We'll be back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, then Inside Access takes over too. Speaking of the Orioles, Baltimore baseball tonight. Tim Barbalay, Jim Hunter, brought to you by Salvo at 6.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness, Tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this one here on the Orioles. Texter says, can someone explain why Eloy Jimenez continues to get consistent at-bats? He's easily fooled by breaking balls. Hits everything into the ground when he does make contact and may be the slowest runner in Major League Baseball. I know Hyde loves the right-on-left matchups, but to me, Slater would have had a much better chance of putting the ball in play.
He has one home run since May, and that was in Colorado. This is a guy that Hyde knows from the days with the Cubs. Remember, he got traded to the White Sox. If you recall, when the Orioles traded for him, I was like, boy, this got a lot of Jesus Aguilar written all over it. Then he hit a couple of liners and was driving in some runs. Hey, exit velocity is 104 miles an hour. That's great. Single to right field. Yeah, I think I'm back to feeling the way I did about Eloy Jimenez when they acquired him. He's free agent after the year, too, by the way. Wasn't that the Seth Johnson trade?
Seth Johnson.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, I'm thinking of the other bad trade that they made. Seth Johnson, who now in the Phillies rotation.
Right. This texter here, Taylor in Aberdeen, says Adley Rutschman has to be nursing an injury. I guess it's possible it is a slump, but to be this bad of a slump or this prolonged of a slump leads me to believe that there's something more here.
Yeah, three home runs since June when he had, 17 going into the All-Star break or 16, whatever it was. He's never the fastest guy to begin with, but he's really lugging the piano, getting around the base pass, which frustrating when you watch him. Balls and strike mix. He used to be instant eye. I mean, he wasn't swinging at balls. He's swinging up there, hacking away a lot. Adley, this is a second half he would like to forget. He had a .125 in July or .135, whatever it was. Horrible. Horrible.
Another texter says, I don't think people are talking enough about Mountcastle being out of the lineup and a potential return for him. To me, he's the big piece in the lineup consistently. But that's been pretty rare as of late.
Well, I was at Brandon Hyde's press conference Friday, and the status report was he's not responding the way that they had hoped. He hurt his wrist sliding into second base. He's not been hitting home runs like he did a couple years back. Maybe Baltimore's affected him more than anybody else, but he was getting a share of ribbies, and that's a right-handed bat. You got a gold glove level caliber. Gold glove, whatever, first baseman defensively. His absence is felt for sure, but again, when's he coming back? I don't know, because Ahern's not exactly knocking the cover off the ball lately either.
This texter says Povich's inconsistency wouldn't be as big of a problem to round out the rotation if your other four guys were actually on point. I go back to that White Sox series. Should have been an easy lineup to mow down as a starter. Povich, of the three Orioles starters, was actually the best in that series as a rookie.
Well, he's made how many starts? Seven? Two of them have been acceptable.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want that, even if your rotation is at full strength or he's the fifth starter. I'm saying there's upside for sure, but you know, this is a team trying to win. He's pitching out of necessity, not because he has earned himself a start every fifth day. Earned a promotion, but I don't know if he's rounding out your rotation. You're trying to win a World Series.
And last texter here says, not a fan of Hyde. I feel like he tries to be the smartest guy in the room and makes horrible decisions. With that being said, I personally believe that the inconsistency with the lineup has been the biggest factor. Starting players now that came from last place teams, how could anyone think those players would help a contending team? Levon Soto, 67 career at-bats. He's getting play time on this team.
Because Jorge Mateo's hurt. Right. And Jordan Westberg's hurt. And Connor Norby's in Miami now. But I was reading Rock's column today. How many games they played? 140, whatever it is?
Yeah, minus 17.
Yeah. That 117 or 118 different lineups this year. Whew. You can't just keep, but injuries have had a major part of it, but trying to find consistency. Tweaked it last night with Mullins moving up into the two hole. Someone not named Gunnar Henderson, Anthony Santander, is going to have to start stepping up. Who that person will be, I have no idea. I'm just as confused and flabbergasted as everybody else. The run production has been bad for a couple of months now. This isn't this week. It's not 2 weeks. It's been since June 20th. They're five games below 500. But hey, they'd still be in the playoffs if they started today. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody. Stay safe. Stay healthy. For now, last is mine.